This is the Amateur Skeptics Podcast number 312. Joining this evening, Mad Cat.
Hello, hello. How's it go? Soon to move.
And we have the dumbass himself.
I'm going to reach out and...
Wow. All right.
That's my new fetish.
It is. Okay. It's very Ferengi. Umox, right?
That's the lobe.
That's lobes. Oh, you're actually going straight for the drum.
Yeah. I'm getting right in there. Penetration.
He's drumming it up.
Yeah.
So not what they called that?
Yeah, that was the name. That was the Ferengi low job, I guess.
Rub their ears.
Lobes. Right. How's everybody doing?
Doing pretty good.
Doing okay.
Getting good grades?
Nah. Well, we had one of the baby Rankin dragon did pass away. So that was sad a couple of weeks back. Yeah. She was only a year and a half old. And when we had all those forest fires, she just went white and was having trouble breathing.
Oh, really? So did those forest fires affect you pretty badly where you are?
Yeah, it did affect us. David was having bad asthma attacks. I was having a little bit of chest problem, but it wasn't so much. Of course, the one dragon passed away. The other one, he was turning color as well. The other ones didn't bother the geckos. Not a problem. But, the cats were staying anywhere. There was a good clean breeze going, the air blower thing we have.
Sure. Has it pretty much subsided now? Are the fires under control?
I believe so. It hasn't been so bad. We've had a few good storms.
Have you? Okay.
Which probably have helped out a lot. Like last night, we had a really wonderful thunderstorm. We had hail. Then we had a really rough situation with heavy rain. So it was quite interesting.
I think this is the first day in 2 weeks that we haven't had a heat advisory. We've been, on average, the temperature's been hitting 99 to 100 degrees. And with the heat index, it's been somewhere around, 114, 115. So it's been miserable.
Yeah, I've been talking to friends in parts of the U.S. who are just really exhausted by the heat, getting pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I don't know if some places are getting it worse than Houston or if they just aren't as prepared as Houston. Because there's some places where they were saying it was getting up to 90, but with, the humidity and everything, the heat index, I don't know how hot it was getting, but they said that it could kill people in the shade. It was just that warm. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that 115 is probably in that temperature range, but Houston is so well air-conditioned and our infrastructure is better designed. It's way better designed to take to deal with the heat than it is the cold. Other than, of course, the amount of electricity that it takes to do that. And some places, I think, did have some issues with power. We have not, but it has been hot.
Yeah, around here, it's been fairly temperate lately, although I'm sure we'll be getting the hotter summertime temperatures rolling in before too long.
So we've had pretty bad ones. We've actually been up to 57 Fahrenheit today, but we were up to about 70 and higher, which is not usual for us.
Today here has been a fairly cool and rainy day.
Yeah, you're near the Great Lakes, though, so that's...
Right? It can make it worse.
Air quality statement in effect until Monday.
So I guess 100 degrees Fahrenheit is somewhere around 38 Celsius, 37.7.
Yeah, that's a scorcher.
Yeah, it's hot. And of course, with index, 45. So yeah, not pleasant. Yeah.
Our air quality got to about 50.
There's an index that I don't always totally understand, but...
I don't understand it either. I just know it means we got lots of smoke. And to be careful with everything, apparently.
As everything, it's like an approximation, right? So, a lot of the time, I look at the feels like temperature, and I don't think it feels anything like that out there. I think it feels more like this. But, I guess everybody's different, and you just have to take an average as best as you can and try to figure out the factors involved in that.
Well, they actually have... barometers or stuff like that. Yeah, I'm bright.
All right. Well,
regardless of what it feels like, the same temperature does feel very differently, whether it's overcast or the sun is beating down you.
Well, yeah. So, even that heat index is in the shade, right? So that 114 in the shade, if you're standing out in the sun, is
just the same as in cold, you get a wind chill. So if it's -20 and you have a wind chill of negative 10 or something, you know.
Right. That's, that feels like temp, humidity and wind affect that.
Yeah. Humidity is nasty, though. It just sinks right in. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's one of the things, you know, in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there's something called supersaturation where it can go above that 100, which is weird. Yeah.
I have no clue. I just know up here where we are, it is much drier and, you know, you don't get soaked like you do near water areas.
Well, right now it's at 60. And of course, the hotter it is, the more water it can hold. So that the humidity is adjusted temperature is the value.
It does. Yep. And then there's all the cloud, this, that, you know.
But,
cloud mass type of.
We should move on. Enough about the weather.
Okay.
This isn't a first date.
Is it the first date?
No, I just.
Last date?
I don't think. I think it's neither. But I think you know what time it is.
I know what time it is because today is Brian Sherrion Dumbass's Masturbation Moment, brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire.
The Amateur Skeptics present Ian's Masturbation Moment, brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire. The Dumbass Media Empire, bringing you content that touches people while they touch themselves.
And we are writing Ian out of it now, after all.
Apparently.
he's not in today. When he's in, we put an Ian.
All right. Yep. It's a revolving door now.
It is. I mean, why not?
Hey, but you know, when it's this hot, what's the first thing you want to do when you get home? It's take a shower. If you have the right shower head, even more enjoyable. Huh, dumbass?
That is correct. What I've got for you here is an article written by Haley Folk, a journalist for Pop Sugar. And I'm just going to come out and say it. Champion masturbator.
Champion.
All right.
Where did she get classified as a champion? And how
Did you hear me?
He gave her an award. He gave her an award. So now she's an award-winning
masturbator. I like her article. I'm giving her an award for masturbating.
There you go.
Okay. It is the Dumbass Masturbation Award.
There we go.
As a longtime fan of female masturbation, I was delighted to learn that there is a new shower head designed for a woman's orgasm. There will be a link in the show notes, or you can look this up yourself. This is, let me find the name of this shower head, the Womanizer Wave, comes in at $119.
I got to say, I don't love the Womanizer.
Yeah, I kind of got a little bit of a...
Sensation it's the way that part that I like.
Like what woman either? Yeah, brings up those like old sitcom characters are always skeevy and like.
Well, exactly. A little bit of misogyny is involved when you say womanizer.
Yeah, I mean.
So you mean like so, what's the name off of?
I think we're all agreed that the name might need a little bit of a rebranding.
Yes.
Could be rethought there. That doesn't really mesh with what we currently think, but. There's a picture here. You can look it up. You can find a picture of this womanizer wave. It is an elongated shower head, which makes sense. Good for like just fitting in between your legs right there. It's got three spouts there. I'm not sure exactly what it looks like when it functions, but there are extra functions for the head and clitoral massager. She says it has three different water jets to switch back and forth from.
And you're able to call Twitter. Contact Twitter.
What?
I'm joking.
Oh, that would be horrible. That'd be horrible if this thing was linked to Elon Musk and he was able to somehow get any kind of influence over your pleasure device. That would just be.
It has a 512 by 512 camera.
No. Built-in 8K camera.
It slices, it dices. Okay.
I mean, if you're a cam girl, you might want the built-in camera.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so we're making up features
are,
now.
Shetty shower screen, which is like regular shower thing. That the womanizer wave doesn't look suspicious or anything. You shower, and unless there's another woman who has one of these or knows about it, probably won't get much attention in your bathroom or whatever, but I submit that's still a risk, so...
Put your Head.
So anyway, one of the modes is steady stream, which is your standard steady water stream. Coming out, just washing your hair or whatever. Then they've got power rain.
I think that's the regular one. I think that's the regular.
Okay. Steady shower. Okay, sorry, I read it wrong. Powder rain. Sorry, powder rain is the regular. Then there's what's called pleasure whirl, in which the water moves into circular motion, the right spots. I imagine that there's space just right apart to swirl around and hit your clit or, you know, wherever you insert, have just the amount of space there.
Hey, we're not supposed to stick things in places anymore, remember? Except for things that are meant to be put in there.
Like raw meat?
I'm assuming every use of that is advertised with this shower head has been tested and certified.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is Pleasure Jet. So you got Pleasure Whirl and Pleasure Jet, a more steady and constant stream of water, which is, of course, I guess they're more calibrated toward hitting the right spots and making you feel the right ways. So, yes, our Haley Folk, champion masturbator, has given her personal seal of approval on this, says it's brought her great pleasure. She says it's worth the splurge.
Well, she kind of couched that very specifically. But the interesting here, the one thing that she says that I found interesting is that it didn't bring you to a climax very real quickly. That it was a nice slow build. That she doesn't like sex toys that get you off too quickly. And so this was a nice ride. I might say it didn't just hit you so hard. You know, and forceful, that it was nice and gentle in its execution. It also, and so it uses 60% less water than a normal shower head. So that's good. So it's not using more water to accomplish this goal. And so that was a few of the key features that she said. The other thing is that she said that that apparently it's easier, that women found this easier to get off with, that 88% of users found it that it was easier to get off than a normal shower head. 86% said that it was more suitable for masturbating, and 73% said it was easier to climax, according to the womanizer. So there's three things that they were looking at here. So apparently it's slightly better than your normal shower head for accomplishing the goal of climax. What she said as far as whether she said if this is something you're already into, that by all means this is a must have, right? But if you already weren't using a shower head for masturbating, that she said that she prefers a sex toy that's in her bed to play with.
Well,
yeah, that makes sense.
Hopefully,
yeah.
It just has a long cord.
Well, you're gonna need some special sheets, I think, if you're gonna use this in your bed.
Yeah, but even in the tub, you need a longer hose.
Well, I don't know whether it has it or not, but she suggests that this is a good way, you know, that you can use it gently, and maybe kind of use it intermittently while you're in the bath, is what she kind of suggested. So,
well, a lot of women have already profess that water is an excellent way to masturbate, giving them an extra sensation.
Sure.
That it's pretty much ideal for this. I'm pretty much just, I like the fact that this shows that innovation isn't dead in the sex toy market, in the sex toy area, that there's still new things to try and that might be worthwhile and to give ourselves sex.
Sure. And what she said is that this is one of the best, most innovative sex toys on the market. So she agrees with where you're coming with that product. You know, I think the problem, like I have with a lot of vibrators, is that too strong, right? Mm-hmm. And so they can create a lot of sensation very quickly. And this sounds like it's gentle.
Nothing like the phone.
Yeah. All right. Where are we moving on to?
Let's move on to this company that's doing the exact opposite. There's a let me describe this. There's this sex toy company that makes environmental sex toys, and they don't make shower heads, and I guess they're unaware of the current shower head that we said uses less water, but they are encouraging people to use their environmental sex toys instead of using the shower head to masturbate, which I found an interesting contrast. And Brian, maybe you'll want to play just a little bit of the commercial. So I'll describe this commercial. This is a commercial, is a series of shower heads crying despondently over their owners having abandoned them in order to environmentally friendly sex toys.
It's hilarious.
So let's hear a few of those voices.
Okay, let me. I'll have to edit
wait,
it later.
Wait, stop. Don't leave me. How could she do this to me? After all the orgasms I gave her.
8 years of relationship. Down the drain.
And for a toy? She left me for a f***ing sex toy?
She still gets naked in front of me every day. She is driving me crazy.
I'm not crying. It's just a leak.
So there you go.
Those poor sex toys. Those poor shower heads.
It's hilarious.
They're so sad.
It's fucking hilarious is what it is. I was cracking up. And I was listening while Mad Cat was watching it, cracking up. it was great.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's very funny. So what kind of sex toy are they making that is going to replace the shower head?
Something that doesn't use shower.
This is a company called Love Not War. Hold on. Oh, I have to register to keep reading now. It didn't do that to me on my first try.
Oh, got it. But
I'm not seeing. So I know it's the company name is Love Not War, and they're making environmentally friendly sex. If you can get me any other details that I can't see.
Well, I wish that what I'd like to see is the actual sex toys that they're suggesting that they replace it. And the article doesn't seem to have those.
It does show one.
It does?
Mm-hmm. They're taking it out of a dresser drawer.
Let me look up Love Not War's website.
Yeah, let's find out what they're doing. Because, I mean, there is something to be said for not using water for that purpose, right? But, I mean, as we've mentioned, it's pretty good at the job of doing it. So what are they going to replace the shower head with? So here it says that we found a statistic that 28% of women use shower heads instead of toys and told Love Not War that we have to work harder.
All right, I'm putting in Love Not War's website here so you can see their sex toy lineup. They've got here the Mega Bundle.
I mean, okay,
which looks like eight separate sex toys, dildos, a couple of which I'm not sure what their specific functionalities are.
They actually show in the video at about 46.
Yeah, it's 46. In the video. Yeah, there are some in the video. I agree that they're pulling it out of the dresser, but they're not in the actual article, right? Where they need to be.
Good point.
So
they didn't say what exactly it was.
So I mean, some of these look kind of interesting. Some of these sex toys, and it looks like you might buy a base, and then you can buy different heads for that base. Is that one of them here?
Maybe.
And all this is in pounds too. So I'm not sure that.
So this is British, but they do have shipping to the USA.
Well, that's good. I like some of these designs, so that they look interesting. But I'm not sure that any of these replace a shower head.
No. Although they do have interesting two-pronged and one big bulbous prong.
Right. Those are interesting. Yeah, I find those. I think that is interesting.
One that looks a little bit like a crowbar. Two orange ones. One that looks like a lipstick case.
Yep. Yeah, that's... Well, and, you know...
Listeners at home, imagine along. But let me give the link to the actual website so listeners at home can follow along. It's
put it in
the l-n-w.com, and that'll be in the show notes. Yeah, that's their big selling point, is that they're being really environmentally friendly, sustainable, and body-safe materials right down to the soy ink on our package. We have created the first ever range of eco-friendly sex toys made from recycled and recyclable material. Our products are good for your body and the planet. Can you imagine putting one of those in the...
Here's the thing. It's that we have a big, you know, you stick it in a neighbor's, right? You don't put it in yours. Just in case, right? Come on, man.
But then you just got lined up. Everybody's putting their sex toys and everybody else's name in it.
Careful what you wish for. Careful what you wish for.
Just down the line. Dildo.
You know, I don't know. If everybody was doing that in my neighborhood, I'd feel better about my neighbors. I wouldn't think they're all a bunch of prudes.
And you're right. There you only need one vibrating bass for the entire.
That's what
ring.
It looks like. Yeah, so. Yeah. So I mean, that I do think is innovative, right? That I think is actually pretty cool. The fact that you can
that
you buy bass and
yeah.
then you swap out the heads. That I like. I mean, I presumably they're. You would just replace the base if it something happened. It presumably it's some sort of rechargeable, probably a lithium or something. So 4 intense levels, 7 vibration patterns, perfect to exploit
your
battery.
The entire mega bundle is €220, and apparently it's sold out.
€220, that's about 300 American, I think?
Something like that, yeah. I don't know what the conversion is. I found a place called... shopkinkly.com that has the one that looks like lipstick for $85.99.
Well, let's see.
So I do think I like that kind of innovation as well. I like that because I mean that's one of the big problems with is charging them or finding batteries for something you know that you've got.
Mm-hmm.
You know sometimes if you can't find a replacement battery for now you've got to put that in the neighbor's bin.
Yeah. And I mean, you can just get like two of those so that when one of the batteries goes short, you plug that in and
sure.
just attach the second one.
No, I
oh,
think
so you don't
you
have
know,
to put it
your big
into
old
the... That's good.
I think that's pretty cool.
Bad Dragon has some nice stuff too.
Bad Dragon has a lot of nice a lot of stuff that I'm not sure that are usable, but they have a lot of cool stuff.
Hey, some of it is in different colors too.
Oh, well, the Bad Dragon stuff. And yeah, I mean, yeah, it looks cool. We have a couple things from Bad Dragon around.
Mm.
And I don't know that they've ever been used. But they do look cool and they feel nice.
Ah.
So I guess our message here is only masturbate in the shower if you're using the womanizer.
I guess. Right? I mean I don't know. I don't know what the final message is here. I think that both toys are kinda are pretty innovative. I think the shower head is kind of innovative, but these look like they're kind of small, they're kind of compact, and you could take them anywhere, and there's a lot of different heads that can go on the one base. It looks like they're, I just think that that's really a kind of a cool thing. The design is pretty slick looking, you know? I do think that these look pretty cool.
And they're pretty stylish looking dildos too, if I do say myself. I'm not sure if I'd call myself a dildo connoisseur or whatever, but they look pretty classic and just smooth
clean
lines
and
stuff.
Good lines.
Yeah.
Some thought has gone into
design.
That. Yeah. And I like the idea that you can, you know, you it probably it's water safe, so you can pop it off and wash them really.
Yeah. I mean, it would have to be water safe. It'll be in a very wet place.
Oh, well, the shower?
Well,
no, I mean the toys.
Oh, right.
Very wet, don't
some older sex toys were not so waterproof. That's kind of some of the newer ones on. I think that we have the other ones we like are Mimi Jane makes some really cool sex toys, and they're all we've got some different things around here. So I think that there's a lot of innovation here going on. That's pretty cool for something that is so taboo too, right? I mean, because we still, I think, and in Texas it's getting worse, right? We have this horrible anti-pornography bill that has been passed that is.
Oh,
as far
boy.
As I can tell, completely unconstitutional, but I think with our current Supreme Court, it's going to stand. That's the problem. And I think the Fifth Circuit here has already held it. It's a big mess. But so at least we're seeing some places that are less prude than the United States. But, you know, it's bad here. Mm. Canada, I think, is at this point way more progressive on that front than
we are.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess we're not, like, super progressive in that area, but I guess we look better just by being normal.
Hey, right. We do still have that law that women can go around without their tops on.
Yeah, and so...
Yeah, that's true, although I don't see many women taking advantage of that shit.
No, not an awful lot of women.
Enjoy your freedom, women!
You know, that's a funny one, because we've covered two different articles on this show that were about a woman topless that in different jurisdictions had very different outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And so here in the United States, we're not totally consistent. And so like New York has a topless law where, you know, women can, you know, they can't ask you to cover up. There was a case in Colorado where a woman was topless. She won that case. They weren't able to do that. But there was another case where they were prosecuting a person for a stepchild scene. And so there's, unfortunately, not good consistency in those kinds of basic things.
Wait a minute. They were charged because the child saw them naked.
Yep. Yep.
Horrifying. Yeah. Horrifying for a child to see. It scars them for life. You know?
I need another wrist.
It'll turn them into a raging pervert.
I can bump my head on it for stupid. Just.
It reminds me that there was another story that I remember coming out of the. This one was out of the UK. So, and this woman she was a sex worker. Not online, but she had people would come and see her, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think she would be a dom at some time. I think a lot of the time it was a dom. Her and another guy had they had met through her work, but you know they were they were living together, and he had kids, and they were very discreet about what they did and with the kids, but the fact that he had this business, the mother was basically trying to take the kids away, but what they would do is the two of them, while the kids were there, would go take a bath there. They liked to, and so while one set knew that they had these secret about it, the other couple, who weren't the sex workers, were doing something that the court said, well, wait a second, they saw a little hypocrisy in that, mm-hmm. and they ruled in favor of the guy, basically just totally right because of what the mother would, and so the whole thing's way handled by the courts way more rationally than our courts here in the States, these kinds of, and maybe that's not always true, right? But I'm hearing about prudish courts that are hurting a lot of people with what
that is true.
Yeah, so I don't know. So we're off on a tangent now. It's something that bothers me about the United States, the greatest country in the world. I'll have you know, right? Greatest country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you get to go on your tangents every now and again. That's your prerogative.
It is funny, people, because if you criticize something, it's like, if you don't like it, then move. It's like, no, I'm criticizing it so I can help fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that if you don't like it, move, it is very, it's antagonistic, yep. For one. And for another, it is very, they may be angry about it too. They just won't say anything. And it's like, well, then you don't get anything done.
I feel like that kind of thing is more of a one of those defenses by people who like the way things work and don't want.
Could be.
Hey, don't rock the boat.
But
in this
country,
they don't have any other argument.
It's fun.
In this country, the "Make America Great" people are prude Nazis. We better move on. Can we move on?
Let's move on.
What do we want to move on to?
I'm not able to get myself in trouble. I don't know if I need to cut that or not. we can't stop talking about sex now. Let's talk about Canada's jewel of a person that has unfortunately passed away. Probably the most important Canadian ever to live, right?
Sue Johansson.
Sue Johansson, yeah. Now, that's a little hyperbole. There's probably other great Canadians, I assume. But this particular person who I was not actually aware of until my wife had told me that he had died, and she died.
I was about to ask whether you were aware of her before this.
I was not. She's got to be, and probably has been called before, Canada's Dr. Ruth Westheim, right?
In Canada, we got her on TV, basically just as much on shows or whatever that she would come on with her sex positive. I loved her a lot.
Oh, you did? Okay, good. So you are aware of her.
Her message anyway, you know.
Okay,
yeah. Of course I'm aware of her.
Okay, good. Well, okay,
not
so she started doing this sex activism, in 1984? And one of the things she said at the time, she said the problem is they just didn't know anything, that they didn't know where baby came from, that in Canada that their sex education was really awful, is what that was the insinuation by another woman that was talking about the whole thing, I guess that those were, I didn't hear those words come out of her mouth exactly, but she did say that that people didn't know a lot about sex, and I think that she learned a lot through this process as well. But one of the things that it seems like she had going for her was this ability to at least in the videos that I've watched, when she was presented with something that sounded crazy to a normal person, she would not kink shame. She would listen to the person. She might ask the question of what what makes this arousing to you, right? Because if she didn't understand it, she might ask that question, but in a way, just that you really, she was just really trying to understand the person. And the video that I put up here is that I think really kind of encompasses that is the raw meat, where a guy and his boyfriend had been making, I guess it was hamburgers at the time, but he wanted to put the raw meat in his butt, in his anus. And you know, she evaluated that and said, well, don't use pork because of trichinosis, but beef should be okay. And she's like, do you want to eat it out of there? And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, maybe. He's like, should I use a condom? She's like, I think so, because of the feces. And it's this conversation, as honest a conversation as you could have. Maybe she was being trolled by this guy. I don't know. But she took it seriously and answered the question to the best of her ability. And I really appreciated that approach to this. There's another video of her.
I love it. I love it. The frank and honest discussion, and just like considering it honestly, that is my go-to, the way I want to like handle sexuality topics. Like,
I think that we try to do that on this podcast, right? Because we've talked about kinks that are not my kinks all the time, right? And it's like you have to, okay, why would somebody find this? You know, you have to honestly ask, what's the appeal, right?
I am so anti kink shit.
Yeah,
absolutely. I want to accept everybody's kinks, no matter what it is, as long as they're not actually hurting other people. Even if it's a kink that could hurt other people, if you were to do stuff to, as long as they're not actually hurting other people, I say you can have whatever kink you want and explore that in your fantasy.
Yeah. And the other thing I would think that so watching her on David Letterman, of course, you never know if the host is actually uncomfortable or if that's just part of their shtick, right? Mm-hmm. But David Letterman seemed uncomfortable, and she was frank to the point. She was funny. The language that she used was good sexual language, right? It was the appropriate words, and it was never shameful. But she said what she needed to say in, I guess I'm going to say, a PC way, in that wouldn't be censored, right? I'm thinking, you know, she didn't say like, you know, shoving a schlong up a or took us, right? She never used words like that. Maybe those are Yiddish words, so maybe that Dr. Ruth would use those. Maybe that's her language. But I guess I like the way she spoke. And of course, not being, I mean, I've listened to Dr. Ruth a lot, right? I've watched videos of her, and so I'm
Dr. Ruth is, of course, very beloved, adored. She has a great way of talking about sexuality. Going over that kind of stuff too. Very, very good attitude towards
it. Exactly. And then when you find out that she was a an Israeli sniper, you're like, what the hell are you talking about? But yeah.
This is new news to me. What the hell are you talking about?
Okay, we have to cover Dr. Root some other time. Right now we're talking about Johansson. So anyway, the article from Rolling Stone says that she had, and I won an award from Canada, like a lifetime type of award. That she was presented
like Order of Canada or something like that.
Something like, yeah.
Order of Canada, 2001.
So that was pretty neat. So I really feel, I mean, I don't know when the last time she was actually, apparently she retired at some point, but I think she was still taking questions about the, and I feel like she did a lot of good, and listening to some other people talk about her and talk about learning from her as a child and stuff like that, because she would go to schools and present. And so she had an impact on a lot of young people, and I think that she brought a lot of honesty to the subject, from what I can tell. So she seems like she would be a national treasure.
I consider her to be a national treasure that we've lost.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you have a story? Can you think of something that
a story about Sue Johansson?
Yeah, something you learned
in particular.
Okay.
I just really liked her attitude, and of course I've seen her on Letterman and Conan.
Yeah.
And I've heard a bit of her radio show too. We might have used some sort of thing of her in Sex Ed at some point. I'm not entirely sure, but it's good to have these kinds of people who are willing to talk openly and honestly about sex without feeling like it's something shameful that we need to shy away from, these kinds of topics. This is just a thing that people are doing that you can talk about without giggling, without, you know, trying to like, we can deal with this in an open and honest way. And that's often the best way to talk about sexual.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't, I can't think of current replacements for these women, for Dr. Ruth and for Dr. They're just not good replacements from right at the moment.
And I suppose it doesn't help that we don't have as much of a monoculture anymore. We used to have, we still have, the late shows and stuff, and they're probably, I haven't watched any of the late shows for a while. They're probably cycling on new sex doctors or whatever, but nobody, I don't think, as far as I know, perhaps there's some up and coming, but I don't think anybody has become quite as iconic. And we've also got YouTube influencers or people doing sex education stuff on YouTube and often doing a great job, but it's the viewership is so much more fractured because you can get,
that's true,
so many options on it that I'm not sure anybody has the opportunity to reach those kinds of iconic levels. And
I'm trying to think, there's a woman on YouTube, ex-Mormon, who is absolutely fantastic. I'm trying to remember what her name, but there's a few of them, right, that I can think of, sex educators. She's really awesome. And I remember showing, pointing my kids towards her content because it was on YouTube and accessible. And now I can't remember her name. I know I've talked to her about her on the podcast, but she has a wonderful video on vulvas. So yeah, so there are
some. Can she draw them?
Who? Can she draw them?
Can she draw them?
No, but she can certainly talk about them.
Ah, okay.
Lacey Green.
Right, yes. We discussed her several years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yes, I remember her videos. Has she been creating any new videos since then? I should look up and see.
I don't know. 1 year ago was, so I don't know. I don't know what she's, I know that she's tried to branch out and do stuff on other shows and stuff like that.
I mean, she was pretty good. I liked her a lot, but like I said, it's hard to gain that kind of level of notoriety and without as much of the big networks. Are less relevant than they used to be. We're not all watching the same shows anymore, kind of,
Yeah, and she was doing a lot of she wasn't strictly talking about sex necessarily, but she was giving a lot of she did a lot of critical thinking about Tom, and she mm-hmm. she was good.
And she did a number of ones on sex.
Yeah. She's. So definitely Lacey Green.
Definitely anybody who's out there on YouTube or whatever platform teaching people about their bodies and, or going over these kinds of sex positive attitudes are definitely people to be appreciated.
I'm looking to see. So she's got I'm looking to see when her last podcast was. So 33 podcasts she's put up. I don't see hacking polyamory, hookups with Dr. Drew. So so Dr. Drew is another one, I think that is doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing good work.
Yep. The female dating strategy. So she's still, I don't know what she's doing right this moment, right? But she's certainly a good person that I don't think that she's quite, like you say, she doesn't quite have quite the platform that these two went, that Dr. Ruth did or that Sue Johansson did, but... I mean, being on YouTube gives her a lot of possibilities to maybe grow that. So there are some people out there, I think, that can, they're still going to do the work. She's another one that I think that, that somebody could ask her about, shoving raw meat in Uranus, and she could she could take it and ask the right questions. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, but 93, I mean, wow. So good for her. That's
It's a decent age to reach.
Yeah. Her children have been on TV a lot talking about, how... at first they were embarrassed by her, but eventually, that as they got older, that they recognized what important work she was. All right.
I suppose it would be hard at school to be the kid of a famous
sex therapist. Yeah, exactly. It reminds me that there's a Netflix show called,
yes, we talked about that before, that big masturbation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, so that kid, his mom is that person, right?
Yep, exactly.
It wasn't always easy. All right. Well, we might as well move on to apes masturbating.
All right. Yeah, let's do this.
Why stop now, right? This is probably we'll probably end on this. So I hope it's juicy.
Well, it's about the history of masturbation, so you can read as much juice into that as you want. But yeah, so the basis of the headline here is that we've traced the origins of masturbation back through our primate ancestors to approximately 40 million years ago, and this has been done. Apparently, it's been hard to gather data about primate masturbation, just because like a lot of things weren't looked at and stuff, and it wasn't like systematically covered. But the data has become a lot better in recent years, and so they've looked at the data on primates who masturbate and use that in order to estimate where it branched off this behavior, and when the ancestor who started masturbating, when that happened, and it, they've traced it back, is about 40 million years ago. I don't think they have the exact name of the species that they think did it, but we don't have like all the fossil records exactly how that I will have done tracing back genetic drifting.
I'm not sure.
Genetic drift. So it's nothing like they found a skeleton with their paw in different locations.
It's not a Pompeii situation, huh?
Now that would be interesting. But you know, that if that were to happen, if there was a Pompeii style thing and we found like some sort of cave that had been covered over, and like it would be interesting to note that the primate had to masturbate. Wow.
They realized that there was something wrong. They're going to die. Might as well get off.
Rub one more out.
I mean, to be fair, that would be a smart choice, I think.
Why die unhappy?
So, I mean, it sounds like there's some like, and I think we've talked about this before, but it's one of the things says here is that masturbating could also help males to shed old sperm, leaving them with fresher, more competitive sperm for sex.
Right. Yeah, so, this is from evolutionary biologists who, right, you know, like to tie everything, how it evolved to do that. I'm not sure that we, because like they had trouble explaining particularly female evolution. They have some, but you know, my thoughts on it are that, you know, like not everything needs to have like a specific evolutionary adaptation purpose. Like I think masturbation seen as a byproduct and a lot of just a thing that goes along with our sexual drive. Wouldn't say accidental because there's no purpose evolution, but just some sort of thing that inevitably goes along with some other trait.
Let me quote Sue Johansson here when she says, you know, the only safe sex is no sex at all, and that doesn't work.
It's those darn old toilets again.
I do think though that there are, that I mean, we have a biological urge to ejaculate, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that the idea that there could be some scientific reasons behind it, I think that there's some truth to that. I understand, right, you know, that it being pleasurable is probably enough, right? But this idea that you're shedding old sperm is probably not a term.
You know, but you said that, I want to address them because, like, there was a Sue Johansson quote that I read in. It kind of ties into this. I think it's a little bit of a misperception, though, because she said that we are the only species that gains pleasure from.
Yeah, she did say that. I don't think it's true.
That's why we should devote time to understanding it. I think it's a good thought, but I think I've said this on the show before, that I kind of think like the other animals enjoy sex.
I think, you know, dolphins like do. I think it's clear that dolphins do.
Yeah. I think the distinction isn't that we're the only animals that do sex for pleasure. I think all animals do sex for pleasure.
I think
we're
so too.
The only animals that do sex specifically to procreate.
On purpose.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Exactly. They're doing it recreationally, right? Just as often as they are for procreation, right? And
exactly.
Humans are doing exactly the same thing, but the Bible tells us we should only do it for procreation.
Right.
And
right.
It really doesn't even say that. That's just, you know, that people trying to control you.
But the other thing too is that the human races seem to want to put down anything that's not human so that it's easier to whatever. I mean, at one point of time they said, you know, they're not smart because they don't use tools. Well, how many animals now
use
tools?
So, I mean, it's a misconception.
All of it is misconceptions. Yep. I mean,
no. Usually, when people make the definite statements about nature like that, they're usually going to be found wrong, right? I think that anytime we're saying that, you know, oh, this never happens in nature, it's like just sit back and wait, right?
Yeah, it was like my father-in-law made a song about how homosexuality doesn't happen on the farm, and it's like, Oh, yeah, it does. Here,
I like this. Yeah.
You ain't been watching your damn cattle there, have
you? Here, so scientists analysts found support for the idea that male masturbation boosts the chances of impregnating a male. For example, low-ranking males may masturbate just enough to increase their arousal before sex, meaning that they inseminate their partner faster. So that's interesting. So this is not good for women. But you know, if men are pre gaming and doing a little bit of masturbation before they get to the bedroom, you know, and they get off really quickly, they may be more likely to inseminate you, but it's not good for your pleasure.
I mean, you could interpret it that way, but you could also interpret it as that primates enjoy foreplay as much as we do.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
True enough. I mean, we did have that one bit about the monkeys that would ride the horses to get high.
I was thinking of the gorillas, the Bronx Zoo that we have on film giving oral sex.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just something people don't want to think about.
Oh, and look at bonobos.
Oh, God.
Yeah. They did talk a little bit in this
article about how it's being like not looked at female masturbation in great apes. But bonobos, they hadn't before that too, but when that came out about how much masturbation and DG rubbing and stuff the females were doing with bonobos, that was like a big eye-opener.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it's directly counter to what Sue Johansson had said, right?
Mm-hmm.
She probably would have updated herself if she was still, you know.
Oh, yeah, we can't give her too much slack. That's what a lot of scientific-minded people were saying.
Exactly, at the time, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a product of her time, just like the rest of us. But right. I bet you she would have updated herself.
At one point in time, we're taught one thing, and we learn as we go along that there might be more. I mean, the microscope brought us into being able to see microorganisms where we didn't know that those even existed at one point in time.
Right, exactly. So there's like this research is demonstrating. I mean, chimps are primate ancestors were masturbating. They were doing a lot of it. Was probably not. They probably had. There was probably a lot of that.
So yeah,
why else would they do it?
Masturbation wasn't invented in the 1800s by Howard G. Masturbation.
Howard G. Ooh, I thought it was Howard X.
Well, I always call him Howie.
Yeah, it's always Howie.
What else we got here? I don't know. We should try to cover the article somewhat. We're just rambling. Hopefully this is entertaining to somebody.
One possible idea they advance for why female masturbation has what kind of effect it has in evolution. They say that masturbation before sex might afford female primates some influence over which male gets them pregnant. By making the vagina less acidic and more hospitable to the chosen mate sperm. That's one possible idea.
What else? Do we got anything else in here? We can cover it at the same time. Go.
Who pays the price for cochlear
implants?
Cochlear implants. No. We're done. We can come back to that. Because that's not sexy.
Nothing more about raw meat. But yeah, that's sexy.
No, I told you about the raw meat.
Sure. No, we did go with the raw meat. I'm just saying that. That was so sexy.
Yeah, Mike. See what I just did to dumbass there? I'm a terrible host.
You ran over him?
I did. Totally did. I told him. He said it, and then I was reading the same thing and said it again. Obviously, I wasn't listening. So, I can't read and listen
to
the same
Well, I do
time.
That all the time.
Oh, you do? Okay, so he's used to it.
You know that. He's very much used to it.
Oh, man.
What do you want to watch? Yeah. I have no idea.
I think this is an interesting article. I think, like you say, that they might not have the drivers. In its article, right? I mean, some of the things that they're suggesting. Are we over prescribing scientific necessities, and maybe they're just social and ecological?
I mean, I think, you know, they're probably a mixture of both, right?
Yeah, they've got to be, right? I mean, we have a drive for no reason.
But it's also, you know, something that you can play together.
We should, on that disappointment, we should end it.
That's another dildo in the man.
Yeah! Dildo in the man. If you've made it this far, that's an hour of your time you're never getting back. But the Amateur Skeptics appreciate you giving that hour to us. If you'd like to tell us how you felt about spending that hour with us, let us know at wtf@amateurskeptics.com. The Amateur Skeptics Podcast is distributed under a
Creative Commons Share Alike No Derivatives 3.5 license. Intro music by Peter Canold. Find more of Peter's music at soundcloud.com/PKANOL. Exit music by OFM. Find more of their music at myspace.com/OFMHQ. Artwork for The Amateur Skeptics by Sean Smith Ford. Copyright Shadow Knight Digital Portraiture.